Open. Stand for the salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do you want to unpin him so it's not just his face? You can just do the gallery. There you go.
So reports and communications, I'll turn it over to Superintendent Gensler for the superintendent update.
All right. I just want to make sure, thumbs up if you guys can hear us on Zoom. Okay, thank you. So I just have a few things to report. Information on masking changes. So most of you know California is dropping the masking mandate effective tomorrow, March 11th at midnight. So, you know, everybody says March 15th, but it's really March 12th. And so if a high school has a indoor basketball game or something, then they don't have to wear them anymore. So it's effective tomorrow night at midnight. And the Department of Defense dropped their mandatory masking for Beale Air Force Base as of yesterday or as of this morning. And so we now have all of our sites that are masking optional for students and staff. We have about 10 to 20% of our students and staff choosing to wear a mask, and the rest are not at this time. So there has been some questions about COVID testing for unvaccinated employees and or sports. Nothing has changed regarding this requirement to test unvaccinated employees weekly. So we're continuing to do that testing. As for sports, wrestling was canceled this year, mainly because we had nobody that we could wrestle, because Yuba City Unified said they're only going to wrestle within their own district, and other organizations or school districts dropped their wrestling. So wrestling was canceled. So the next sport is track, and we're not going to do weekly testing on track because it's an outdoor sport. So we don't have any more sports testing that we're going to have to complete this year, at least at this point. But we will continue to do the unvaccinated employees and anybody else who wants to get tested. And the other thing too is, I'll talk about that in a minute, COVID leave. So Paula and myself and Angela, our nurse, sat down this last week and we went through everything that we know, including those who had responded, and we credited back all employees their COVID leave from October 1st to present. So now if they're out for COVID, it goes in as COVID leave. So we went through and took care of that. I mean, there probably is one or two people that will question it at some point, and we'll fix it when we know that. But the thing that we know is if they tested positive here, or if we had some indication that they were out for a quarantine. If they tested positive at home and just called it in as a sick leave and never told us that they had COVID, then we wouldn't know to credit them back. So that's why you saw the email that I sent out and said, hey, let us know. And we did have a few people that let us know. But at this point, the district has provided approximately 505 days of COVID leave to our employees. So it's a significant number of days of leave. Rennie rallies. So our sites are holding their second trimester Rennie rallies. Some will be outside and some will be inside. I just want to give you the dates in case you're able to come. They are all next week, Wednesday, March 16th is Wheatland Elementary at 8:30 and 9:30. And then Thursday is Lone Tree. And theirs is outside, 8:30 to 11. And if it rains, I think they're switching it to the following week, the 24th. And then Bear River is Friday the 18th, and the 6th through 8th grade starts at 8:30, and the 4th and 5th starts at 1 o'clock. Also, Bear River has a Friday at the Flagpole tomorrow at 8:15, if you are interested in any of those. Bear River is inside, yes. Peter, are you doing yours inside or outside?
Ours will be outside.
Outside. So Bear River is inside, the other two are outside. Spring break. So we have spring break April 11th through the 18th, returning on Tuesday the 19th. We will have take-home COVID tests available for all staff and students that would like them. We are not going to pass them out to kids at schools. We'll probably do a drive-through here at the district office, open for a few hours. People can drive by and pick up however many kits they want. And again, it's up to them. We will have them available. And last but not least, as you are all very well aware, the cost of fuel is out of sight. And we know this is impacting our employees, but I also need everybody to understand that it's impacting our transportation department as well. We're seeing a huge increase in fuel costs. Diesel's getting up to $6 a gallon. And when you're driving a big bus to Smartsville and back, and we have no money coming into the state for those additional costs, it is going to impact our transportation budget. So just be aware of that. And then I'll move on to enrollment report. We have 1,313 students. So 1,313 students at the time of the report. 41 students more than we had last year, 16 less than we had last month, 142 students in the preschool program, which is 45 more than last year and one less than last month. So a total of 1,455 in all groups, which is 86 more than last year at this time. That's all I have for reports. I think Annette's on there. She may have something to report.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Craig. First, I just wanted to say welcome back to Lieutenant Colonel Bobby Hale. Thank you, sir. It was good to see you. Let's see. As you know, the month of the military child is coming up, and I know that your programs and your schools are probably gearing up and doing lots of cool stuff, too. And I will be checking your websites because I love to see all that really cool stuff that you guys do. And I can get it out to my parents, or if there's anything that you guys need us to send out in that way, just let me know. One of the really cool things that we're going to do this year is called, and we're going to have an essay for the month of the military child. And it is called My Life as a Military Child. So what we want our kids to do is just write something briefly about how they feel about being a military child, or what they've experienced, anything that they would like to write down. And it starts, TK, kindergarten, all the way up to high school. So if you have kiddos that are interested in that, the flyers will come out tomorrow because it starts on the 28th of March and it goes through the 22nd of April. So it kind of gives them a little bit of a chance to get it all going. So I have all the information, who they need to turn it into. They can turn it into the youth center or over at our Child and Youth Resource Building, or they can email it straight to our org box. So all that information is there. And there is some money prizes, so that's pretty exciting. Also, we are going to be doing, for our high school, if you have parents that have teenagers, we're going to be doing a 1-2-3 magic parenting if you have teens. So it's going to be parenting for teens. And I know as the kids get 13 on up, it gets a little crazy. So we're going to do a really cool training for that. And that'll be virtual. And it'll be on the 26th of April. And also don't forget about the month of the military child purple up. Wear purple every Friday or whatever day you'd like. The official purple up day for California is the 15th. So we are all going to be wearing purple. So decorate with purple, do whatever you like to with purple, but just lots of things going on. Our child and youth team right now, and that includes me, we are all gearing up for our Department of Defense unannounced inspection. So I think we're ready. We're ready. So just collaborating with you guys and just helping us do the things that we do every day. I appreciate it. Tara helped us with our multidisciplinary inspection as well. So thank you, Tara, for that. And Jody is always there. We're always begging her for something. So we appreciate all that you guys do. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help. I am currently teleworking. but you can still get a hold of me. Me and Jody are always in communication. So thank you guys so much. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Annette.
You're welcome.
That was communications from the public. Is there any other communications from the public? Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Any questions before I ask for a motion? Do we have a motion for the consent agenda?
A motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Moving on to action items.
Okay, so 5.1 is the adoption of the second interim. So I'm going to have Chad throw up the PowerPoint, and I'll try to get through this relatively quickly because most of it is ongoing information. All right, so so we'll start off with the state update. Of course, we're still waiting for the governor's January budget proposal. We are in March. His proposal obviously is his proposal, and then they get into the arguments and all of that. We won't really know anything until June. But right now, the state revenues are still coming in slightly higher than they had projected, which continues to be surprising to me, given the fact that so many things were closed down because of COVID and all of that, but that's where we're at. There is a proposal to change the way that the ABA is calculated to give us a three-year average. That really helps districts like ours that ebb and flow when it comes to the numbers. So you can look at an average, and it's easier to budget when you know what your average is going to be versus being dependent on the actual numbers. So we'll see where that goes. Just so everybody is aware where our COVID funding estimate breakdown is, I'm not going to read all these numbers, but I'll give you some examples of like ESSER 3, which is the newest one. That's the one that people talk about. We're supposed to get 1.3 million. We've only received 200,000. So when they say that, you know, the money is coming into the districts, it's slowly trickling in. Some of this money, like down here, the local assistance and the preschool grants, we haven't received any of it yet. So some of it, we haven't received it, but we have spent it because we know what we're going to get. So it will reimburse the general fund when we spend it. The in-person instruction is another example. We've spent all of it because it's earmarked. It doesn't mean it's all been, we've written checks or anything, but it's earmarked. And 195,000 is all we've received so far. The learning loss, you can see that we received it all and we spent it all, because if we didn't, we had to give it back. Okay, so this is just kind of an indication of where we are with COVID funding and what the expectation is. There's still well over $2 million that should be coming into the district at some point. So revenues, what's the changes? There's been no change to our LCFF from the board approved budget and first interim. So you'll see zero difference there. Federal revenues have gone up by 106,000, mostly attributed to the CARES funding and also some federal grant funding, and then the PALS grant funding. So it's gone up 100,000. Other state, we have received some money, mostly grants, strong workforce, et cetera, increase in lottery funding, some more COVID money. So that's gone up $835,000 from the original budget. And then other local revenue, we've gone down 11,000, but that's mainly because we took our speech back. We were sharing a speech person with the high school. It just got too much, and we have too many kids that need it. So we brought them back, which is a cost to us because we were billing the high school for part of our time. So our total revenues went up $930,000 from the original budget. But of course, our expenditures also go up. So our certificated salaries, step and column adjustments, so people that turn in their units and stuff later, we adjust that. We also hire the LVN, and we now have a on-staff part-time OT that has come to work for us. So that's, it used to be going out of contracted money, and now it's salaried money. So we're spending about $256,000 more in the certificated. $151,000 more for classified. Again, step and column increases, people that move over, salary for new grants if we hired people, and then added staff for COVID funding and classified staffing in the new grants. So it went up $151,000. And of course, I always put this up so you understand that when somebody makes $50,000 a year, the district spends a lot more on that. So if they're a teacher and they're part of STIRS, it's an additional 16.92% that the district pays into the retirement. If it's PERS, so it'd be classified, it's almost 23% more. And then Social Security, Medicare, unemployment insurance, workers' comp, health and welfare. So those are all additional costs for employee benefits. So when your employee costs go up, all your benefits costs go up. So it went up $189,000. For the new staff, and if they move over and move up pay wise, then it costs you a little more money on the books and supplies. So that's going up by $155,000. Again, adjustments for new grants, and then added some funding for after school. Services and other operating went up $138,000, mostly COVID money, but also new grants. Capital outlay, no change. So the capital outlay that you approved and that we spent was for the two buses. So that's what that is. We don't have any other significant purchases happening. Other outgo, we had to pay a little more to the county office for their portion of our LCFF by about $5,000. Transfer of indirect, not a significant difference. $500. So the total expenditures went up by $918,000, which is less than our revenues went up. So that is a good thing. Transfers out didn't change. So we have a net decrease to the fund balance. Originally at board approved, it was $301,000 in the red. Now we're at $289,000. So a difference of $11,000. And that's just, again, we won't spend all that. I tell you guys this all the time, but that's where we're at. So if we did spend it all and we did lose $289,000 or spent more than we received, then our fund balance would go from $7.4 million to $7.1 million. And then what makes up the fund balance? So revolving cash, which is what we have available to write checks when somebody loses their paycheck or whatnot. Restricted, we have to put aside certain money for economic uncertainties. And then we have accrued vacation. And then we always put aside a month's worth of salary and benefits for cash flow purposes because the state never pays us on time. And then we have $1.5 million for future textbook adoptions. So here's a look at the multi-year projections. And I tell you, don't even look at these because they are just pie in the sky of what we think is gonna happen. But if it does happen, then we would decrease next year by $270,000 and then the out year by $1.1 million. But we don't even know what the revenues will be, to be honest with you. So what other funds do we have in the district? The charter. So the charter right now is expected to increase their fund balance by $190,000. Child development, we don't want to have a high amount, so we're spending money out of that. So that's down by $107,000. Again, I'm not going to read all the numbers, but you can see there's ups and downs in each of the groups. And then that's it. So this is your second interim report. We're in a good place financially. And we will continue to keep a very good eye on it. So I can answer any questions that you may have.
Are we looking at any future textbook adoptions and then upcoming soon futures?
I would expect we will, yeah. I mean, the state put a hold on all that during COVID. So my expectation, I don't know even, I'm not even sure what's up next. Science, I think. No? You guys shaking your hands?
Math. We did science last year. Math is next.
Thank you.
So how much of what we adopt is hardcover versus computerized now?
It depends on the subject matter, but it's really moving towards more computerized than it is hard copy.
Do they charge the same for?
Absolutely. You know, they're not losing any money.
No torn pages.
Right. Saving a few more trees, I guess.
Any other questions? Can I have a motion for adoption of the second interim report?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
Okay, 5.2 is the Juneteenth agreement. We talked about this last meeting with CSEA. This is with the secretaries. So last year, if they were required to work on Juneteenth, they didn't get it off, but yet it was a federal holiday. And so this would be the same agreement that we have with CSEA in the MOU last time, which allows them to have one floater day this year, but it does not carry over. And then in their agreement, Juneteenth is there now added to their contract.
Any questions?
I think the last time it was CSEA and confidential. So that meets all the groups once this one is approved.
And I have a motion to accept 5.2 Juneteenth agreement.
I move to approve 5.2 Juneteenth agreement with WESS.
I'll second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
All of the agreements are now listed, 5.3, 5.4, 5.5, 5.6, all the way to 5.11. Each of the groups, they're very similar in nature, 5% increase, $1,500 off schedule, retirement benefit, et cetera. I put WCA in here. That was approved yesterday by their board, but I always think it's good to bring it to the main meeting as well. Even though you don't actually oversee them, I think it's important that they get approval from this board as well. So my suggestion is you take them all as one group, and then we don't have to go through each one, but I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have about any of the TAs, or if you want any specifics. I can tell you that assuming if the board passes this tonight, it would not be in their paychecks for this month because we're already on March 10th and payroll is being processed. The suggestion that I made to a couple of the groups, which they liked, was that we would do retro next month and then do their $1,500 stipend on the following month, mainly because
taxes.
It helps with their tax purposes. If you put it all together, it elevates their salary and they end up getting taxed more. So we could do it either way, but the teachers union asked that we do the retro first and the pandemic stipend second. Which again, it doesn't really matter, but that would be the plan, is at the end of April that they would get their retro pay, and then at the end of May they would get their pandemic pay. The only group that's missing from here is the classified group. I have met with classified a couple of times. We are right. We're ready to sign off. We're just waiting for some language regarding the new layoffs of classified, because it used to be you could lay off a classified employee with 60 days advance notice, but as of January 1st, 2022, they now have the same layoff language, similar language to teachers, in that you have to notify them by March 15th, or you can't lay them off till the following year. So we have to change the language in their contract. So that's the only thing we're holding up on, but everything else in their agreement is similar to this. It would be my expectation that I would bring that to the April meeting, and that I would preload payroll to have classified ready to go as well, so that they would get the pay at the same time as everybody else. That would be the hope. I can't guarantee it, but that would be the hope, is that we would, that way we don't have one group not getting, I mean, they would get it, but they would get it everything a month later. So we'll try to do it all at the same time. So that's pretty much it. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
If there are no questions, I would move that we approve 5.3 to 5.11.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. So board comments. Any comments?
Gas is too high.
Gas is too high. Yes, it is.
One comment. Food's too high.
I mean, the reality of it is that, you know, this is, we have a generous offer for our employees at 5% plus the pandemic, but when everything's going up 7%, they're 2% in the rears before they even start, right? So it's a difficult place for people to be. And anybody who's filled up their gas tank in the last week or yesterday and then today, right? There's a difference in price. So it's going to impact everybody. They were talking about it last night on the news that food's going to go up even more because the trucks that deliver it are going to have to pay the gas prices and so on and so forth. So,
the gas that we use for our buses, we have our own tank.
We do.
Okay. So we're not limited to like $100, like some gas stations are limiting trucks, right?
You get it a little bit less than you have your own tank, right? But not much. Or you still pay the market price?
You pretty much pay the market price. It's mainly a convenience thing.
Yeah.
The thing that we do get a little less is we are allowed to use the red diesel that farmers can use. We can use that in school buses. So you don't pay some of the taxes on that. You still pay for the product,
right. But
you pay less on the taxes. So we do, thank goodness, get a little less than what you would pay for diesel if you went to Raj's or something like that. So, but yeah, it's mainly a convenience factor that they can pull in and fill up and not have their back end of their bus sitting out on 65 like you see by ice cream. So, other than that,
we'll go into closed session. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.